Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Luke, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 11. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats in by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put him out a little from the land, and he sat down, and he taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep, and let down your nets to catch." And Simon Peter answered, "Master, we have toiled all night long and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when he had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. And they signaled to their partners and to the other boats to come and to help them. And they came and they filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish and they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought in their boats of the land, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our Holy Father, I ask for your assistance now, Lord, for I have no words but your words only. Grant me your strength, O Lord, so that the words that I speak will be yours, O Lord, so that we, your people, might be encouraged by what you have to say to us on this day. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. You know, one of the things that holds us back from doing most things is fear. If you notice the sermon titles, "Do Not Be Afraid." Fear is a very powerful and gripping emotion. If we're not careful, it can strangle us almost and not allow us to do anything that we may have dreams to do. I asked a question earlier, did you ever have some dreams that you had, something that you desired to do, but were just too afraid to step out and do them? Not knowing what was going to happen, not knowing who was going to be there, not knowing all those things. The fear of that unknown, you're not alone if you're there. You're not. You ever had a time in ministry where you felt that you were called to do something or to do more of something, yet fear gripped you to the point where you didn't do it? Maybe it was because you didn't want to hear what others might have to say. You didn't want to hear the negative words they may want to say. Or maybe it was you were afraid of being successful in the ministry. Yes, there's people who are afraid of success as well, especially in ministry sometimes, because we can sit here and tell you as pastors, if you're good at a ministry thing, we're going to call you. True. But fear can just take over sometimes to the point where it keeps us from being who we are called to be, from doing the things that we're called to do, from stepping out and just understanding that God wants more from us. He wants more from each and every one of us. And that we here, people here, are that net of love that he needs for us to be in this world. Fear, as I said, is a very powerful emotion. Sometimes it can even keep you safe. When I was a child, my way of dealing with fear was to fight my fear and do anything. And I was kind of the neighborhood daredevil, which is probably why I'm broke up now. But everybody responds differently. But when fear grips us to the point where we can't do any action, especially in ministry, especially when God is calling us to love more and more, and we allow fear to keep us from doing that love, then we're failing in our one mission. Our mission is stated in Matthew, and I'll say it from the King James Version, which is a great version to read for poetic urgency. You don't want to study by the King James, but it's great for poetic urgency because it says, "Go ye therefore and make disciples." But when we're too afraid to go, what does that do for those who need us most? What does that do for those who are hungry, who need us to help them, or homeless, or clothless, or sick, or any of those many, many things? Maggie Clark, who's at the first service, she's on her way to El Salvador with a group of people who are on missions, our district sponsors. What if they had never been there before to help those people that need help? What if we're too afraid to step out and to help our neighbor who lives right next door to us because they don't go to the same place we worship? They don't look like we do. We didn't grow up together. We're not the same color of skin. Or any other number of reasons we allow fear to stop us from doing what God is calling us to do. What will our world look like if we, the people of God, who are called by his name, won't step out and do what God is calling us to do? This story really begins in chapter 4, and Pastor Allison did a great job with it, telling about how it was a really great story. And in chapter 4, you see the temptation of Christ, and as Christ begins to have his public ministry begin, and even talked about where he's rejected by his own people in his own hometown, and he goes on to cleanse the demon-possessed man, and he heals Simon's mother-in-law. He does all those things in chapter 4, and then he begins preaching and teaching. And before this time, we're not told, other than Simon, we're not told if any or how many of the disciples actually were around him while he was doing all these little things. So the first miracle they may have seen may have been the miracle of the fish. But he began, it says, on one occasion while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Now, Pastor Carson talked about like fishing with a line. That's not what they did. They threw out nets, and these nets had to be cared for. These were men. This was their livelihood. If you've ever watched anything like, not Wicked Tuna, but one of those about shrimpers or something like that, they take care of the nets. Their nets need mending on a constant basis in order to catch the fish. These men had to make sure that these nets were taken care of and were strong enough to do so. And as I mentioned before, we are that net, each and every one of us. If you look around at the person next to you, that person is a part of a net of love. A net of love that is needed, and it connects us to one another and to our community and to a community of faith and into our world. And we cannot do it without the person next to us. We're only as strong as our net makes us, and our net is only as strong as that we allow ourselves to love one another. We're supposed to love the Lord God with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our soul, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And when that net of love is combined with the love of Christ in our hearts, then we can do these things for this world that we're called to do. But when we let fear and trepidation take a hold and we're not a part of that net, then there are those who will sneak through that net. Now, this net is not meant to just catch men and like hold on to them, but it's supposed to be a net of love, a network of love. As we catch those who are around us, we also invite them into our community and our net grows stronger. And those who need us most, those who need us to reach out to them and help them, are helped by us. That's what our net does for us. It allows us to love our neighbors and to love to a point where that anytime there's a broken part of our net, we can quickly mend that net and continue our mission. And he was getting into the boats, which was Simon's, and he put out a little one from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets to catch." Now, notice the answer he gives. If you look at your bulletin, you'll notice this ends with an exclamation point. And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night long and took nothing." Wow. He didn't work all night. Any of us ever worked all night long and it didn't seem like you did anything? Okay, I'm the only one ever been there. We've all had those times where we feel like all the work that we're putting into and all the things that we're doing, and it seems like nothing's happening, nothing's going anywhere. And if somebody asks you to do just a little bit more, or if God asks you to do this a little bit more, we might have the same response. You don't want to do it. That's a natural cause. I mean, that's natural for us to feel this way sometimes. But sometimes we have to understand that our toiling, which means that really hard work, that our toils are not in vain when we're helping and doing what God has called us to do. When we allow ourselves to understand that we're not going to let fear keep us from being the men and women of God that God is calling us to do. That our toils, that our labor will not go in vain. That's the promise of God. We might not see any reward here. And if you're looking for reward here on earth, you've received, when somebody says, "Good job," you've received all the reward you shall ever get. It's okay to toil. And it's okay when we ask a little bit more of each other. Sometimes we may not have the energy to do it. And sometimes we do. Sometimes we'd rather watch that ball game than to run out there and do this little thing for the scouts. But every now and then we have to put our selfish ambitions behind us and understand that we are here for the people of this earth. Our logo and our motto for our church is For Fayetteville, which means that we're for the men and women of our community. But if we cannot show that in our actions and our thoughts and in our words, then what does that really mean besides just a word putting on a piece of paper? If we're for Fayetteville, if we're for one another, if we're for this world, then let us show it by the love that we give to one another. Simon understood this. He was angry and he was upset that he would be asked to do just a little bit more because he had toiled all night long. He was probably tired. It's early in the morning. It's probably when he took a quick siesta before they went back out later on in that day. But he answers our Christ and he says, "But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. And they signaled to the other partners on the boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats. And so they began to sink. This miracle, this is the one time that Christ has performed a miracle. And this is actually one of the few miracles that's in all four Gospels. And as they began to gather those fish to the point where our boat was sinking, that's kind of like what grace does for us. When we toil, when we labor for our God and our Christ, the grace that has been given to us gets to be so much that we can't even hold it. That it has no other choice but to be given to others around us, to help those who are in need, those who are suffering, those who are jailed, those who injustice comes over. We're told in Micah 6 and 8 to love justice, to love mercy, to do justice, and to walk humbly with our God. And I use that one because if you look at it, it says to love, putting us to action, to do, putting us to action, and walk humbly with our God. We can't do that when we're afraid to reach out to the man or the woman next to us and just offer some assistance to them. Who are we if we won't do those things that God is calling us to do? That we allow fear to keep us from doing things. This is the month of February, Valentine's month. You can see by all the people wearing red, Valentine's month, and heart month, you know, where people are thinking about their hearts. We think about all those things, but this is also Black History Month. And you can't go through Black History Month without thinking about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and his indelible words and his deeds that he did, the labors and the toiling that he did to fight for social justice. Not for one, but for all. That's who we must be. Everybody's not called to be Dr. King. Everybody's not called to be somebody great. If you look at all the prophets, each of the prophets had a point in which they were afraid to do what God had called them to do. Yet they stepped out on faith and did what God called them to do. Just like Dr. King, just like Mahatma Gandhi, just like Mother Teresa and so many other prophets. They all had a choice to make, and they chose to do what God told them. There had to be some fear and trepidation in them at the times. I talked earlier about it. I didn't know I was going to mention it, but I talked earlier about it, that my ministry, I was called to the ministry years before that I actually stepped out in 2001 and said that I would be a minister of Christ. Years before. And the reason why was fear had gripped me to the point where I didn't think I was worthy. How could my God use a sinful man like myself? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and all are redeemed by God's blood and his salvation. So therefore, if he calls us, step out. Don't be afraid. Walk out there and do what God is calling us to do. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. And he and all, they were astonished. We all feel that we're not worthy sometimes to what God gives us. But that doesn't mean he can't use us, each and every one of us. We are called to go. We're also those people who need to answer that call that says, here I am, Lord, send me. And he says, do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men. And when they brought in their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. We may not be the people who can just leave everything behind and follow Christ, but we are a people who can do those things that God has called us to do. Everybody's not called to some great ministry, but all are called to something. And even the smallest parts help the rest of the parts. The smallest screw of a car helps that car run. Doesn't matter. We're all called to do our part. We're all called to let fear and anxieties go away from us, to love our God and to love the people of God. Let us pray. Our holy God, we come before you giving you thanks and praise for this day. We pray, oh Heavenly Father, that you will strengthen our hearts and minds to live for you and to do your will. Help us to be willing to walk out into those unknown places. Help us to understand that if we trust you, then all that we are asked to do, you will lead us. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.